you will hear part of a radio phone-in programme about consumer competitions that appear in magazines or are run by shops, in which advice is given to people who regularly enter them. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
Okay, today I have with me Cathy Ford, winner of more than £500,000 worth of prizes in all sorts of consumer competitions and dubbed the Queen of Competitions by the British Press. She's now editor of Competitors World magazine and, as an expert on competitions, has appeared regularly on TV. Cathy, let's go straight to our first caller, and that's Diana. Diana, what's your query?
Yes. Hello, Cathy. Well, in order to send in two entries to a competition where only one entry per person was allowed, I asked my best friend if I could submit an entry in her name. She agreed, and the understanding was that if her entry won, I would receive the prize, but I would buy her a small gift for allowing me to use her name. Well, the inevitable has happened. I've won a much-needed new washing machine, but in my friend's name, and she has now refused point-blank to hand the machine over. If I went to a lawyer, would I have any hope of getting my prize from her?
Not even the faintest chance. I'm afraid that your efforts to evade the rules have not only cost you the prize, but also your best friend as well, and legally you just don't have a leg to stand on. Even if you'd drawn up some sort of legal agreement with your erstwhile friend, I think you'd find that the law would still take a very dim view of your case, since it was obviously done with premeditated fraudulent intent. It's not worth trying to evade the rules, as you've just found out the hard way.
Next, it's Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're through to Cathy.
Someone told me that some firms that run competitions keep a blacklist of frequent prize winners, and that I should use a lot of different aliases in order to avoid being put on such a list. Is this true?
No. Competitors can sometimes get a little paranoid. And if they start going through a winless spell, and we all get them from time to time, they start to imagine that they've been blacklisted. No reputable firm would even contemplate such a measure, and the only time there's even a faint risk of this sort of thing happening is with in-store competitions, where an individual store manager might just conceivably think, "Oh no, not him again," and deliberately disregard your entry. For mainstream competitions, however, such worries are groundless, and the use of aliases is not only unnecessary, but can even prove to be pretty stupid. Think about it for a moment. What would happen if you won a holiday under a phony name, or were asked to prove your identity to collect a prize at a presentation ceremony? My advice is to stick with your own name, and if prizes stop arriving, take a long, close look at the quality of your entries, rather than trying to blame it on blacklists.
OK, next it's Stan. Stan, what can Cathy help you with?
Well, Cathy, I recently entered a competition which asked you to estimate the distance between a store in Newcastle and its London head office using the shortest route. In order to make my entry as accurate as possible, I used a RouteMaster computer program to determine the shortest possible way and calculate the distance, quite literally, from door to door. Imagine my astonishment, therefore, when I sent for the result and found that the answer they had given as being correct was fully 73 miles longer than mine. I know my answer was correct, so do I have grounds to make a formal objection?
I'm sorry, but no, you haven't. As far as the promoter is concerned, the key word in the instructions here is estimate. They expect you to guess, not measure the distance accurately. And it's likely that their own answer will also be based purely on an estimate. As a result, judges will always be right, even when they are wrong, as in a case like this. And in entering the competition at all, you have agreed to abide by the rule that states the judge's decision is final. Distance estimation competitions have always given rise to this sort of controversy, and although court cases have been brought, the entrant very seldom succeeds in having the decision changed. You have only to check the distance charts in road atlases to see how this type of problem occurs. No two ever agree, yet as far as I know, towns simply don't move around very much.
OK, and now on to our next caller, who is...
Now you'll hear part three again.
OK, today I have with me Cathy Ford, winner of more than £500,000 worth of prizes in all sorts of consumer competitions and dubbed the Queen of Competitions by the British Press. She's now editor of Competitors World magazine and as an expert on competitions has appeared regularly on TV. Cathy, let's go straight to our first caller and that's Diana. Diana, what's your query?
Yes. Hello, Cathy. Well, in order to send in two entries to a competition where only one entry per person was allowed, I asked my best friend if I could submit an entry in her name. She agreed, and the understanding was that if her entry won, I would receive the prize, but I would buy her a small gift for allowing me to use her name. Well, the inevitable has happened. I've won a much-needed new washing machine, but in my friend's name, and she has now refused point-blank to hand the machine over. If I went to a lawyer, would I have any hope of getting my prize from her?
Not even the faintest chance. I'm afraid that your efforts to evade the rules have not only cost you the prize, but also your best friend as well, and legally you just don't have a leg to stand on. Even if you'd drawn up some sort of legal agreement with your erstwhile friend, I think you'd find that the law would still take a very dim view of your case, since it was obviously done with premeditated fraudulent intent. It's not worth trying to evade the rules, as you've just found out the hard way.
Next, it's Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're through to Cathy.
Someone told me that some firms that run competitions keep a blacklist of frequent prize winners and that I should use a lot of different aliases in order to avoid being put on such a list. Is this true?
No. Competitors can sometimes get a little paranoid. And if they start going through a winless spell, and we all get them from time to time, they start to imagine that they've been blacklisted. No reputable firm would even contemplate such a measure. And the only time there's even a faint risk of this sort of thing happening is with in-store competitions, where an individual store manager might just conceivably think, oh no, not him again, and deliberately disregard your entry. For mainstream competitions, however, such worries are groundless, and the use of aliases is not only unnecessary, but can even prove to be pretty stupid. Think about it for a moment. What would happen if you won a holiday under a phony name? Or were asked to prove your identity to collect a prize at a presentation ceremony? My advice is to stick with your own name, and if prizes stop arriving, take a long, close look at the quality of your entries, rather than trying to blame it on blacklists.
OK, next it's Stan. Stan, what can Cathy help you with?
Well, Cathy, I recently entered a competition which asked you to estimate the distance between a store in Newcastle and its London head office using the shortest route. In order to make my entry as accurate as possible, I used a Routemaster computer program to determine the shortest possible way and calculate the distance, quite literally, from door to door. Imagine my astonishment, therefore, when I sent for the result and found that the answer they had given as being correct was fully 73 miles longer than mine. I know my answer was correct, so do I have grounds to make a formal objection?
I'm sorry, but no, you haven't. As far as the promoter is concerned, the key word in the instructions here is estimate. They expect you to guess, not measure the distance accurately. And it's likely that their own answer will also be based purely on an estimate. As a result, judges will always be right, even when they are wrong, as in a case like this. And in entering the competition at all, you have agreed to abide by the rule that states the judge's decision is final. Distance estimation competitions have always given rise to this sort of controversy, and although court cases have been brought, the entrant very seldom succeeds in having the decision changed. You have only to check the distance charts in road atlases to see how this type of problem occurs. No two ever agree, yet as far as I know, towns simply don't move around very much.
OK, and now on to our next caller, who is...
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.